Welcome to another Kingdom Studies. We're studying the apocalypse at this time, or the end times. We're in the book of Revelation, the 14th chapter, and verse number 7. And it reads from the Greek, saying in a voice great, "You fear the God, and he gave to him glory, because it came the hour of the judgment of him." The hour of the judgment of him. "And ye worship the one having created the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." He's talking about three sources of water here again: from the heavens, from the fountains of the deep, and from the sea. 14 and verse 8. "And another second angel he followed, saying, She fell, Babylon, hey Megale, the great, which out of the wine of the wrath of the fornication of her, she has made to drink all the nations." We have Babylon the Great. There are many different opinions who this is. I wrote this in 1980. In the last several chapters, I have given several different opinions for different scriptures. And here is one more scripture where there are many different ideas. I personally believe the Babylon spoken of here is a governmental, political, and religious Babylon. The Antichrist will at this time annul all other religions. He will establish and demand that he alone and his religion be worshipped. Daniel 9, 24 through 27, Matthew 24, 15 through 24. As Christ is to be worshipped as God, the Antichrist demands to be worshipped as God. And some will worship him for a season. And his ungodly heart's desire shall be fulfilled for a short time. Many people believe that Babylon the Great in the Bible is the revised Roman Empire. The revised Roman Empire. Now, the Bible is Jerusalem-centric. In other words, it's centered around Jerusalem. In the history of the world, so to speak, there have been seven, and it goes, this chapter here, 14th chapter, also coincides with the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation also. Now, the five, or the seven empires, that is, that have come and gone into the world, these are the ones that ruled all the Middle East area and into Jerusalem. Jerusalem is important. Now, the Babylonian Empire did rule at one time. The Grecian Empire, the Medo-Persians, the Assyrians, and the Egyptians. Let's go back and just start from the very beginning. It talks about seven governments in the 17th chapter, and we'll do this again when we get there. But we have to cover this a little bit where we are, or we won't understand what's going on here. The first government to rule that known world then was the Egyptian Empire, number one, of the seven kings. Now, it said six were there. The sixth kingdom was under power when John wrote this letter. The first kingdom was the Egyptian Empire. The second was the Assyrian Empire. And then from the book of Daniel, we talk about that golden head, which was the Babylonian Empire. And then we have the Medo-Persian Empire after that. That's number four. Number five is the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great and Philip of Macedon, his father. And then we have the Roman Empire and the Holy Roman Empire. Let's go back and let's look at this. Let's look up on our map and see what's going on. We've gone through here, now we come to the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire is in power when Jesus is born. The Grecian Empire in culture had taken over the Roman Empire in all reality. Now here we have Jesus organizing his church while the Rome was under power. We have here within 251 AD, we have some irregularities with the church. Then we have Constantine the Great come on the scene. We have a horrible ruler at the end time, at the end of the 10th Roman, and the last class that I did was on the 10 periods of Roman persecution, where the church at Rome had persecuted the churches. The last one, there was a man in that organization was called Constantinus. Constantinus had a lover, her name was Helen, and they had a child by the name of Constantine. I won't go into this in great detail, but now we're in here in the middle of the Roman persecution right here between 251 AD. Now this, the mountains that is talking about, the seven mountains are seven governments. We have Egypt, Assyria, Babylonia, Persia, Greece, and Rome. Now we're talking about the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, in 311 A.D., we have two Roman emperors got together, and one of them was Constantine, and they installed the Toleration Act of 311 and said that Christianity was a religion that was now legal. Constantine's mother supposedly led him to believe in Christ. Constantine, the day before the battle with another rival in the Roman Empire, saw a cross in the sky kind of like that, and it had like a cross like a key, and then it had a roll which looks like a P in the top of it, and he put that on his shields. Okay, and he went out and conquered, and he whipped his foe, and the foe drowned. Even though the foe had superior numbers and a lot of ground forces, he whipped him anyway. And he drowned, and then they cut his head off and put his head on a pole and danced it around all over the place. Now, we have the Roman Empire. Now, in 570 A.D., we have a birth of a man that became very important in what we call church history. Now we see here already that Catholicism had, it was a church and the state were one. Catholicism was conquering by the sword by this time. And 570 A.D., Muhammad was born, supposedly from a very poor family, the Quraysh, except the Quraysh is the ones that ruled Mecca. And Mecca, all of the pagans made a circle around Mecca, around that Kaaba stone, and they got the Quraysh sold food, and they sold sacrifices. They sacrificed a lot of camels there. And then there was a tannery there in Mecca, and they took all the hides of the camels that they sacrificed, and they dyed this leather red, and it went all over the place. Well, anyway, the Quraysh were the people that were involved in this. His mother, according to many sources, especially The Life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq, which is a pro-Islamic book, Ibn Ishaq believed that Muhammad was the apostle or messenger of God. And he put down everything that happened, though, and including with his mother's sicknesses, where she would go into these fits or whatever. And someone that had epilepsy back then was categorized as demon-possessed. All the poets were categorized as demon-possessed. That's what inspired them to bring forth the poetry. 570 A.D., by 610 A.D., he had started began to start his religion as a prophet of God, and he was denouncing all of his family there at Mecca, and they tried to get rid of him. They tried to get him to to shut up, to just mind his own religion and peddle his own goods to that, but don't try to stop them from believing what they did. That didn't work. Some of Muhammad's people finally went down into Yemen and became refugees down in Yemen. And they had refuge down there. Muhammad finally left Mecca and went to Medina, where he talked to three Jewish tribes there, and he asked them to give him refuge there, and that he could worship his God and they could worship their God. And that he was, he told them that he's the epitome of all of the gods of Israel anyway, and all of the Christians, that he was the last prophet of God. And if they look in their books, they'd see him there. Well, they never did find him there. Finally ended up turning around and killing all of them and dispossessing, well, killing most of them and dispossessing them of all their lands, or date trees, date farms, and orchards, and everything. He took it all from them. He became a warlord, and his religion succeeded. Islam is a political government under Sharia law, which Muhammad instituted. No country where they go, they do not want to cooperate or assimilate into those countries. They want to be separate. And then they want to be under their own laws, abiding by their own rules, and superseding any governmental constitution wherever they have gone. Well, Islam and Catholicism raped and pillaged the world. For here we have this one, about 632 AD is when Muhammad died, right there. And Catholicism is very strong, but they chased each other across the Mediterranean Sea, killing each other for 1,000 years. The Ottoman Empire was an empire that ruled after the Roman Empire. We have the Roman Empire, we have the Holy Roman Empire. But the Ottoman Empire under the Turks in the Islamic Ottoman Empire, they ruled Europe for at least 300 years, and they ruled many countries all the way from Asia Minor into Turkey and the Middle East, Arabia, for 1,000 years. And March the 3rd, 1922, the last caliphate was dissolved. By 1924, it was completely dissolved. And that's the seventh empire, the seventh mountain in the book of Revelation. But it says the eighth will come forward, and it will be a revision of the seventh. Now, many people say that the Roman Empire is the seventh empire, but it wasn't. It's the sixth empire. It can't be 6th, 7th, and 8th empire, the Roman Empire. I always thought that the Roman Empire was going to be revised. But the last empire to rule Jerusalem and the Middle East and all the way into Asia Minor and even into Europe was the Ottoman Empire. After that, even Catholicism had its wings clipped here by this period of time here, when we have Luther and Calvin, and then we have Protestantism coming forth. Of course, we have Baptists all during the time that kept on dying for their faith, kept the scriptures. And the last time, now when we're going to read from the 14th chapter of Revelation onward, we're going to see these empires. We're talking about the last empire. We're talking about the eighth empire now, the eighth mountain, the eighth empire. And I believe that will be the revised Islamic or Ottoman. Ottoman is the Islamic Empire. And another angel, the third, he followed them, saying in a voice great, if anyone he worships the beast and the icon, the image of him, he receives a mark upon the forehead of him and upon the hand of him. And this, generally speaking, is a man or woman. Now, the Antichrist, of the Bible kind of somewhat greatly corresponds to the Mahdi of the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Hadith, and the Ahadith too. The Mahdi is going to come forth. He's going to be 40 years old when he is a reluctant ruler, and I've said this before, but we need to catch up to this, and this is what the Bible says here. Now let's look at what the Bible says. He's the Antichrist. The Muhammad said that he is the Redeemer, that he is the Savior of the people, that he will bring them back to the religion and bring in the lost caliphate, the last caliphate, bring in Sharia law all over the world. He's going to have people that swear allegiance to him. The what we call a confession of faith, the Bismillah, is that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger, prophet, or apostle. The jihadists today, and ISIS, they wear a banner on there that says this. They wear an armband that says this. And it's printed on the handband, the headband, and on the armband. And they go forth killing and taking booty and taking lives and beheading people. Now, if Islam is correct, and if the Bible is correct about the Antichrist, which I believe the Bible is correct, absolutely, the Mahdi comes forth and he's going to consolidate all Islamic people and they will become one. In the world today, there are 1.2 to 1.5 billion Muslims. The book of Revelation earlier talked about an army of 200 million people coming against the Holy Land, basically out of Arabia. I think it would be very easy for Islam to muster 200 million soldiers, since sometimes their soldiers are 6 and 7 years old, until they're old, and women also. There are women jihadists. Now, generically speaking, all of those that receive the mark of the beast. Now, we have the Mahdi going to come forth out of Syria, Arabia. He is going to be a direct descendant of Muhammad through his daughter, Fatima. And he's going to be a reluctant leader, but they're going to swear allegiance to him and force him to lead them. There's going to be a beast come out of Arabia, and this beast is going to, he's going to be a weird-looking thing. He's going to be had a head of a bull, the horns of a stag, the eyes of a pig, the ears of an elephant, the neck of an ostrich, the front part of his body of a lion. He's going to have the tail of a ram, a big fat tail. He's going to have the haunches of a cat. He's going to have the legs of a camel, and his joints are going to be 20 feet apart. The Bible talks about a beast. The beast is going to mark these people that are adherents to the Antichrist. The beast in Islam is going to mark the adherents of the true Islamic people that adhere to the Mahdi and the true Islam. And of course we have the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is going to come back at this period of time right here and going to rapture his church. He's going right there. He's going to rapture his church at the end of the church age. And then he's going to save Israel during this great tribulation period. The tribulation period is coming upon the earth to bring them back to God. And he is going to establish his millennial reign at the end of this period of time. He's going to kill all of the armies of the Antichrist or the Mahdi or Islam or whatever it is. Now, Jesus of the Bible is going to save the Jews and he's going to rapture the Christians. The Isa or the Jesus of Islam is going to kill all the Jews first. He's going to murder them all. And then he's going to kill all the Christians and break all religions. He's going to break the cross. He's going to break Christianity. And no one in the world will worship anything but Allah and Muhammad. And he receives a mark upon the forehead of him and upon the hand of him. The Bible says that when these people receive this mark of the Antichrist, they cannot be saved. Islam says the beast is going to mark these people for the Mahdi. Let's go to 14:10. And he shall drink, or she shall drink, out of the wine of the wrath of the God. This political, false political system. If the Islam is right, it's Islam. If the Bible is right, it's the Antichrist, whoever it is. Whether it's the revised Roman Empire, which I don't believe so much anymore, or actually the revised Islamic Empire, which I do think has more weight. The wrath of God, the wrath belonging to the God, having been mixed undiluted in the cup of the swelling wrath of him, and she shall be tormented in fire and in sulfur in the presence of the angels, holy, and before the Lamb. Now, who is this she? It's going to be all of the adherents to the person of the Antichrist, this false religion. If Islam is true with theirs, what they believe, it will be them. If those that believe that it's a revised Roman Empire, which I don't believe, it's going to be the adherents to the church at Rome and whatever. I believe that this is the revised Ottoman Empire. Isaiah 51:17, Jeremiah 25:15 and 27, Revelation 16:9, 19:15, 19:19, 20:10 through 14, Revelation 17 and verse 1, Psalm 75:8, Genesis 19:24, Ezekiel 38:22, 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7, and Mark 8 and verse 38. And she, this false religious system, and all of her leaders shall be tormented in fire and in sulfur, down in the presence of the angels, the holy angels, and before the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb. 14 and verse 11. 14:11. And the kopnos, the smoke, of the basanismo, of the torment of them, unto the ages of the ages, in other words, eis eonas eonon, unto the ages of the ages, ages piled upon ages. In other words, this is the word for eternity. It's olam in Hebrew. It goes up, and not they have rest. They have no ceasing. Their torment does not cease. Unceasing is what it says. Anopousan. Unceasing, day and night, hemeris kai nictos, day and night. Revelation 20:10 again, 21-3. Matthew 25:41, Luke 16:23-30. Proverbs 15:24, Isaiah 14:9, Ezekiel 31:17. Revelation 21:8. This is a parallel of all of these verses. Instead of the smoke of the incense of the prayers ascending to God of the saints, we have now the smoke of the torments ascending to God of those that have rejected Him. They will glorify God, even in their torments. 14 and 11b. The ones worshiping the beast, the Thadrion, this word is a swift-moving beast. If it has got those 20 foot in between its joints leg, it could be a pretty swift-moving beast of Islam. And the image, the icon of him. And if anyone he receives the mark or the name or the authority that onomatos belonging to him, that is, there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. If anyone receives that authoritative mark, he shall be tormented in hell forever. 14 and verse 12. Hode he hippomone. Hear the endurance of the saints. Ton hagion there, it is plural of the saints, genitive plural masculine of the saints. The word saints comes from alpha and gay, not of earth. When the first time you're born into this world and you're born of the earth, belonging to the earth, belonging to mankind on the earth. Man is a relative of the earth. God made man from the same elements that he made the earth from. Man didn't come from the earth. I want you to understand that man came from the same elements, man as the earth, from the same elements as the earth. A little old man, page 580 in the Brown, Driver, and Briggs. That's a little preposition, from the same elements as the earth. Here is the endurance of the saints. It is. The ones guarding the commandments of the God and the faith of Jesus. Jude 3 talks about the faith that was once and for all handed down to the saints. Revelation 13, 10, 12, 7, and 2:13 talks about the faith. The ones guarding the commandments. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, after you've been cast out into the world, make disciples, baptizing those disciples, dipping them in the name on eisto onoma, in the name of, singular, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And lo, teach them to guard with their lives all things I've given you. And lo, I'm with you until the end of the age, of the church age. I'm going to be with you. In other words, all of this conglomeration of religious confusion here, religious Babylon, including Islam, which I wish was in here on this chart. It should be there. We have the truth coming down through there. And the truth is going to hold to the truth. Because, not because of the people, but because of God's promise. And he gave them the grace to die and the grace to hold on to that truth. This is the endurance of the saints, the real true churches. That they're guarding the entelos, or they're guarding with their lives the things that they have learned of God, out of God, and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 14, 13. And I heard a voice, a sound actually, phonēs. We get a word phonograph from that in English. And I heard a phonēs ectu uranu. And I kai akusa phonēs ectu uranu leguses. Grapho. Grapho. And I heard a voice, a sound, out of the heaven saying, this word is saying, it continues to say, it's genitive, singular, feminine, present participle, acting. It just keeps on saying this over and over again. Graphon, you write. Now this word write here, we get a word graph from it. We get a word graphic from this word, graphon. And this word is punctiliar in action. You do this once. Do it. Punctiliar right now. You do this right now. Blessed. Blessed the ones dead, the dead ones, the ones in the Lord dying, having been killed and dying from now on. Yes, he says, the Spirit, in order that they shall rest, they shall cease, they shall rest from the labors. The word labor there is kopon. And that's oblative plural. And that word is beatings. Yea, shall rest from the beatings of them. They will rest from their beatings, from their persecutions, from their being killed. For the works of them, each one of them follows after them. Each work follows after them. Revelation 26, 2:7, 2:17, 6:11, 1 Corinthians 15, and 18 and verse 58, it says, our beatings are not in vain. There. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, Hebrews 4 and 9, and 1 Timothy 5, 25. The harvest of the earth. 14, 14. There are three parables talking about this period of time. Now we have a harvest. We have the end of the church age where we had a rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Then we have a tribulation period upon the earth. And then we have the raptures here. There are many people that are saved during this period of time. Many of them, 5 out of every 6 people in the world are going to be killed. 2 out of every 3 Jews are going to be killed. Some of these Jews are going to be born again, and they're going to be saved, and they're going to die for the faith of Jesus that they hated so much. these people here during this period of time, I think the greatest revival in the history of mankind will be right after the rapture. Many people are going to be saved, but they're going to have to die. They're going to have to hide out. I like the movies, Left Behind movies. That really showed a lot about this. Many people believed afterwards. Preachers might even get saved during this period of time. Some of them. Some of these Mormons might get saved. Some of these Jehovah's Witnesses might realize the person that they have been testifying against, Jesus, all these times, is actually their Jehovah God and Creator. Maybe some of these Islamic people are going to be saved at this time. I don't know. Church of Christ, some of them dudes might even get saved. Baptists might get saved at this time, some of them, that are just made some so-called confession of faith without repentance and without believing and just like to go to church. They'll be having church after the rapture, I can tell you that much. There's going to be a lot of people in those churches that aren't saved. And the three parables at this time, we have the dragnet, the parable of the dragnet, where they throw the angels throw out the net and they drag all these fish in and they keep the good fish and they throw the trash fish away. Their trash fish are these unsaved individuals that have been marked with the mark of the beast and all those that don't believe. And it says that the parable of the tares and the wheat. The disciples came and told, or the workers came and told the master of the field, hey, some enemy came out there and sowed tares after you've sowed good wheat. And the tares are coming us. Shall we go pull them out? And he said, no, wait till the end of the age. And go out there and take the tares and bind them together and burn them and then harvest my wheat. I don't want you to bother the wheat. That takes place at the end of this tribulation period. And there's one other parable also, the parable of the sheep and the goats. The parable of the sheep and the goats is they will separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep are the believers, the goats are those that have gone astray. That's the three parables. And I saw, and you behold for yourself, second person singular, second aorist, imperative middle voice, a cloud white, luke, and upon the cloud one sitting like an heir, like the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. The seed of man, the heir of mankind, having upon the head of him a stephanon, a crown awarded by right of birth, an heirship. A crown gold, and in the hand of him a sickle, sharp, oxy. Christ was the rightful heir of the throne of Israel when he came to the earth, but the Roman government had put a son of the flesh, Herod, a son of Esau, on the throne of Israel. Herod was very worried when the wise men, the Magi, came looking for the Messiah that was supposed to be born. Because they knew where he was going to be born. He asked the scribes and the Pharisees, where he's going to be born? They said, in Bethlehem. He said, when you go find him, come back and tell me, and I'm going to go worship him too. Well, they didn't come back because they were warned of God. And then he went down there and had all the little baby boys, 2 years old and under, killed, murdered. This is what we call the impaling of the infants, the sacrifice, the slaughter of the innocents. 14 and verse 15 in the book of Revelation, the harvest has come. And another angel, he went out from the shrine, the dwelling place, crying, in a sound or in a voice great, Phone, en phone, megale, to the one setting upon the cloud, you send the sickle of you, and you reap, because it had come the hour to reap, because it was dried up the harvest of the earth. The sea of mankind becomes so corrupt during the times in history that God has to bring judgment to slow mankind down from killing each other. Here again is that time. Man is such a fool that sometimes his mouth calls for blows. Revelation 11 and 19, 14, 17, 15, 6, 16, 17, 14, and 16, Joel 3:13, Mark 4:29, Jeremiah 51:33, Matthew 13, 39 through 41, and even 25 through 40, the tares and the wheat. 14:16, and he threw, or cast, the one setting upon the cloud, the sickle, the drepanon, the sickle of him upon the earth. And it was reaped, the earth. The earth was reaped. The earth was reaped. This is at the end now of this period of time right here. The end. God has already gathered up the saved right here of the church age. And all the church and all of the family of God has gone up to him with him. They're up there in the wedding feast for 7 years, Daniel's week. And down upon the earth, all hell is breaking loose. And the earth, and she was harvested the earth. She was harvested the earth. 14:17. And another angel. This is the third angel. He went out. All angels are boys, by the way. They're all masculine. He went out of the dwelling place in the heaven, out from the throne of God, having also him a sickle sharp. Revelation 11, 19, 14, 15, 15, 6, 16, and 17. 14 and 8. Now we got the fourth angel. And another angel, the fourth angel, out of the sacrificial altar, Theasa Terio, the one having authority, exousia, that means no limits now. Exousia means no limits. No limits, no boundaries. Upon the fire. And he spoke in a sound great, or in a voice great, to the one having the sickle, the sharp sickle, saying, you sinned. Of you the sickle, the sharp. And you gather the clusters, the batrios, the clusters of the vine, ampelon. Now, wine or grape juice is called genomatos tesam plu. When it's fermented, it's called oinos. But whatever stage you cut those grapes, within a very short time, they're beginning to be in the state of fermentation. And the clusters of the vine, ampelu, of the earth, because they ripened the grapes of her. Revelation 16, 18, Joel 3, 13, Mark 4, 29, Revelation 6, 9, 8, 3, and 14, 15. 14 and verse 19. And he threw, he cast, ekbalein, he cast the angel, the sickle of him, unto the earth. And he gathered et trigesen, and he gathered the vine of the earth. And he threw it unto the winepress of the anger of God, the great winepress of the anger of God. 14 and verse 20. It gets deeper and deeper and more violent every minute. The people on earth that have occupied since the tribulation period began and the rapture took up all of God's saved people, there have been a lot of saved people during this time, but they're going to drink their blood, so to speak. They're going to shed their blood and the earth will drink their blood. And their blood is crying out to God like righteous Abel's blood cried out to God when Cain killed him. And they're going to pay for what they've done. And this is the payday someday. This is lex talionis. This is the payday now. This is payday. They're going to be paid. They're going to have to pay for what they have done. And he thrust the angel, the sickle of him, into the earth. Astangain, into the earth. And he gathered the vine, the apollon, the vine of the earth. And he threw the vine unto the winepress of the anger of God, the great anger of God. 14:20. And she was trodden, the winepress, outside the city. And it went out blood out of the winepress until up to the kalinon. The kalinon there is the bridles of the horses from 200 miles from Edom to Bozrah, 200 miles. Ezekiel 38:9-10, Zechariah 14:2-6, Isaiah 63:1. Seismologists have discovered a fault running for this earthquake zone from the Mount of Olives, Acts 1:9-11, Ezekiel 43:1-3, Zechariah 14:4, Daniel 7:13-14, for 200 miles. Study archaeology, study medicine, study science, study the weather, study animal zoology, botany. Any science will agree with the Bible and true religion. Lamentations 1:15, Revelation 19:15, 11 and 18, Hebrews 13:12, Genesis 49:11, Deuteronomy 32:14, and the other scriptures I gave you with this. The Bible is not going to disagree with true science, true medicine. Let me give you a little example. The Catholic Church said the earth was flat. Well, guess when old Muhammad was born? Guess when Muhammad was born? When the Catholic Church saying the earth is flat, right over in this period of time, 570 A.D. to 632, when he lived. He said, he's got to go a little further than Catholicism did, he said there's 7 flat earths. But the Bible says the earth is a circuit. It's round. Talks about the solar system in the Bible. Talks about the clouds. Talks how things are watered. Muhammad looked at the earth as a flat tablecloth. And the mountains are the things that holds it down so it won't blow away. He said on one side is a muddy stream where the sun sets. The sun sets in the muddy stream. Because that's what it looked like to him. He did not know the earth was round. He also talks about medical science and he talks about all kinds of hygiene. A woman is dirtier than dirt, I might say. If a man came into sexual contact with a woman, he's supposed to wash himself right afterwards. But if there's no water present, he's supposed to take clean sand and wash himself all over with dirt, clean sand, to get that contamination off of it. He also said that if a fly falls into your cup or into your food, that the fly, you take the fly and you dip the fly, completely immerse the fly in your cup, and then you kill it or whatever you want to do with it afterwards. Because, he says, on one wing is the poison, the bacteria, on the other wing is the antidote. That's what Muhammad believes. Now, in all reality, probably the wings of a fly are the cleanest thing on him. Because they're flapping around and going on. The legs of the fly, everything that has ever pooped, every manure, every contaminated, maggot-infested thing that he walks on is on his legs. The hair is on his body and his legs. But Muhammad said, take the fly if he gets into your cup and dip the whole fly in there and then get rid of him. Because the antidote is on one wing and the poison is on the other. Now, that's not true science. Then it says in 15 and verse 1, 15th chapter of the book of Revelation, verse number 1. And I saw another sign in the heaven, great and wonderful. The word great here is mega. And thaumastone. Wonderful, something that just absolutely astounds you and strikes you out of your senses. You're amazed. You're dumbfounded. You're confused. I saw a great sign out of a wonderful angels, 7, having plagues, 7, and the last, because in them it was brought to an end, the wrath of God. The bottled up themos. We get a word thermos right out of this word themos. The themos to theou, the wrath of God. The bottled up anger and fury of God. Now down on earth we have a mad devil and an angry God. A mad devil and an angry God. And boy, have we got problems. The inhabitants thereof. Now if you follow the devil, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you better get that way. You better repent of your sins and call upon Him to save your soul and believe that He is God the Son, that He is Jehovah the Old Testament, that He came forth, God became flesh, and died for you, for your sins. Or maybe you'll get to see some of this stuff. I guarantee you after the rapture you'll believe, or you won't. Maybe you will be those born of Satan and marked. I pray that not one person that hears this message out there, any place in the world, will go into the tribulation period. I believe that you'll be born again. I hope that. I hope that you will. That you will repent of your sins and ask the Lord to save your soul. Because this stuff is real. Revelation 12, 1 through 3. 15, 6 through 8, 16, 1, 17, 1, 21, verse 9, and 9, verse 20, and Leviticus 26 and verse 21. 15 and verse 2. And I saw as a sea glassy, having been mixed with fire, fiery colored, and the ones overcoming from the swift beast, outrunning the beast, that fast beast that the Bible talks about, the Thadrion, or else that beast of the Mahdi and the Quran and the Sunnah and the Hadith. From the swift beast and out of the idol, the icon image of him, and out from the number, the arithmu, and out of the number, that's oblative singular number, of the name, out of the name of him. The authority of him. Having stood upon the sea, the one glassy, having harps belonging to God. Harps belonging to God. The foundation of the stone and the throne of God is not a common stone, but it's a sapphire looking stone. It's a diamond. It's a diamond. The throne of God is a diamond, a glassy diamond reflecting the very presence and nature and beauty and glory of God. Thank you for your attention tonight. May these words go with you where they go all over the world. May we look forward to the coming of the Lord. May you look forward to the coming Lord if you're not saved today, that you will get that way. That you'll ask Him to forgive you and save your soul. That you apply His blood. That Christ died for all mankind. He died for all men. But Christ's blood is not efficacious to all men. Only to the elect. Only to those that will be saved. The sacrifice is for all. But only applied to the elect. To the saved. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You. We thank You for Your word. Help this go out all over the world. Help us to glorify You with Your word. Forgive us for your failure. And help us to be vessels of honor for You. Help us to lead others to Christ. Help us to build people up in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray.